Yeah, so as you mentioned, we're going to now kind of move to the international setting. So for the next 12 minutes or so, I'll be giving a brief overview of research we've conducted in Kenya and Rwanda specifically to assess various considerations for the introduction of a hypothetical longer-acting injectable contraceptive. And I have no relationships to disclose. So why do we do this study? A project currently led by FHI 360 with funding from the Gates Foundation is underway to develop an innovative injectable contraceptive that could provide at least 6 months of protection from pregnancy. The stimulus for this effort is that while injectables are widely used, discontinuation is often a problem for a myriad of reasons. Some of the more salient reasons include stockouts at the facility level and difficulty with patients returning for their subsequent reinjections. The main goal of the proposed project is to identify and obtain proof of concept for several potential product approaches that could be developed to improve continuation. So our examination of acceptability, potential demand, and policy and delivery issues was one of four specific objectives of this larger project. This presentation focuses on the perspectives we gathered from a variety of stakeholders to see what opportunities for introduction existed, as well as to find out more about system-wide barriers that would need to be addressed if this hypothetical product were to one day be realistically rolled out. So during the first year of the project, we conducted qualitative case studies in Kenya and Rwanda, two countries with high demand for injectable contraception, but they had markedly different service delivery environments. And when I say high demand, I mean that over 20% of contraceptive users in each country are using injectables currently. So we used open-ended questions to explore respondent perspectives on the five domains here: the current injectable landscape, attitudes towards potential product approaches, views towards 11 characteristics described in a target product profile, or a TPP, which I'll cover in a second, overall interest in an LAI, and the potential market for such a product, and the means of introducing this product into the existing method mix. Additionally, 28 opinion leaders responded to an email survey containing questions on potential need and important characteristics of an LAI, as well as the potential challenges for introducing such a method. These opinion leaders were comprised of experts from funding agencies, foundations, universities, and NGOs. So here we have this is a snapshot of the respondents that we interviewed. Our sample included key informant consultations with Ministry of Health representatives and other policymakers in each country, public and NGO sector program implementers, as well as service providers from a cross-section of public and private sector clinics in the capital cities in one or more peri-urban or rural areas. So potential users, you'll notice, are not covered here. But they are the primary respondents in a companion paper that was published in May of this year. The companion paper did find general broad acceptability of a six-month injectable among potential participants, with some variation for the most important characteristics by country and by respondent type. So I mentioned the target product profile. These are the characteristics that we asked participants about. These were created based on input from a technical advisory group, and they were also informed by this template that the FDA has to inform the drug development process. So the bolding here indicates the characteristics that I'm going to touch on today in today's presentation, such as a minimum of 6 months of effectiveness, a product that could be used by all types of women, low procurement cost, stable formulation, minimal side effects, and a method that could utilize community-based distribution mechanisms, or otherwise known as CBD. So we worked with a local illustrator to create illustrations for some of these TPP characteristics. And we had a card sorting activity that we also did as part of the interviews that we conducted. These cards, along with the interview guides that we used, were both reviewed and approved by the respective study teams. So a team of three analysts coded the transcripts using first a priori codes, followed by an inductive coding approach using the Invivo 9 software. We found that respondents discussed three main areas of particular importance for the introduction of an LAI, or longer-acting injectable. The health systems level, which included the policy and programmatic decisions being made, the clinic level, and then also the channels for distributing such a method. So although not the focus of our presentation today, we also asked these respondents about their perspectives on potential users, essentially who these providers, program implementers, and policymakers thought would be the most likely candidates for a longer-acting injectable. And in general, these respondents in both countries thought that while a wide range of women would be interested in an LAI, current satisfied injectable users would likely be the logical early adopters who would switch to an LAI from a three-month injectable because it was more convenient for them. So during interviews, several health systems level barriers to introduction emerged. When asked about the decision-making and planning required to introduce a new contraceptive product, respondents noted that regulatory processes, cost, as well as manufacturing and procurement were the main considerations that could affect access to and eventual uptake of an LAI. No suggestions were made on how to shorten the policy approval process, as this was largely accepted as the norm. Funding, as always, was mentioned as a huge challenge, and it was suggested to keep the price point of an LAI similar to that of DMPA. With respect to supply chain management, respondents cited lengthy and sometimes costly procurement steps that could stall the introduction of a new method. For many developing countries, the lack of a local manufacturer was also cited as a factor that could delay access to a potential LAI. So to better illustrate the point of proximal manufacturing, we have a quote from the director of an NGO in Kenya that says, "That's the problem. We don't have a local manufacturer. We're not like India where they're manufacturing almost all of their family planning commodities so they can at least deliver it quickly to where it's needed." In regards to clinic level issues, respondents addressed points related to dosing schedule and follow-up appointments, workload and learning curve, as well as storage and stockout considerations for an LAI. There was some concern raised about effective side effect management with a method that required fewer follow-up visits, but overall, providers felt an LAI would fit into existing programs well, both because they thought that clients would be interested in the method type and the duration, but also because providers perceived that this could potentially reduce their stress, job-related stress. While providers acknowledge that there may be initial difficulty or learning curves in time management, clinic workflow, and side effect management, they remain mostly positive about the potential of an LAI to enhance both client and provider satisfaction. All respondents in both countries agreed that an LAI with no cold chain storage requirements was essential to ensure that a product could feasibly reach more people. However, in Rwanda specifically, being able to store such a product in warm and humid climates was crucial. Respondents acknowledged that stockouts can also limit access for potential users by delaying the initiation or continuation of a method, with stopgap measures such as condoms providing less effective pregnancy protection. So to further illuminate the issue of side effect management, we pulled a quote from a nurse in Kenya who stated, "My concern would be if I inject the client and then we have this bleeding or somebody develops maybe increased blood pressure, and maybe the drug will take a year or maybe 2 years. What happens in between?" Then we had another quote about the issue of workload from a nurse in Rwanda who said that work will decrease because the frequency of clients will also decrease. We will do our work better because sometimes it happens that we don't do our work like we should because of the pressure of a line of people waiting outside the door. But when they are fewer, you can put your things in order without problems. Distribution was an area where country differences were really the most pronounced. Currently in Rwanda, community-based distribution is pretty normal, but in Kenya it's still kind of just getting off the ground. So respondents commented about CBD for an LAI as well as self-injection options for this device. Opinions about CBD of an LAI tended to be based on provider type and their familiarity with these types of programs. In general, most policymakers and program managers in Kenya were very supportive of a CBD mechanism, but only a quarter of service providers envisioned the possibility of CBD. In contrast, all respondent types in Rwanda were very supportive of this mechanism. The approach was seen to not only increase access, but also to promote adherence. In both countries, respondents were divided about the possibility of self-injection of an LAI, and self-injection would likely be a uniject device that was similar to the cyanopress that's in the press these days quite a lot. So expanding access due to a lack of services in remote areas was a key advantage of CBD, as illustrated by this quote from a program officer at an NGO in Kenya that stated, "They also need to really understand that unless you're willing to go and work in Turkana, where there's only one medical officer and five nurses in the entire district that's the size of Europe, unless you're really willing to go and work there, then you're better off letting someone else go and do the job." Then we had a good quote from this rural nurse in Rwanda who says that it's also an advantage for the women who live far from health centers, and also it helps approach more people and sensitize them to family planning since we don't do field visits. So the potential to get new contraceptive users was also a point that they made. So in sum, three key components emerged as pivotal areas for rollout of a potential LAI. First off, interest among all respondents was high, and the proposed LAI was seen as a method that could address an existing gap in the current method mix. Cost considerations were paramount, especially initial cost to introduce a method. However, most respondents thought that these costs were well worth the investment, given the system-wide efficiencies that could potentially be gained, and the potential for increased continuation. Although some resistance in Kenya surfaced for CBD, many respondents made it clear that this distribution method had the potential to make a very sizable impact. Another noteworthy discussion point is that each of these pieces cannot be dealt with in isolation. All these elements we thought were intertwined, and hence that's why we did a systems level examination. Also, when a new method is similar to an existing method, it could be easy to put less focus on planning for its introduction. But our study shows the key differences between an LAI and existing injectables have the potential to affect implementation and should be considered. And this data is further expanded on a paper coming out in Global Health Science and Practice actually just next month. So if you're more interested in to see the full range of data, you could go just wait till next month. And at the bottom of this slide, there's a web link if anybody wants to read more about the status of the larger project, the effort to develop the LAI. And also, sorry, I just want to take one moment to acknowledge the my co-author, Janet Arcara, who's in the audience right now, the women that were interviewed for this, and the field teams, as well as our illustrator, Mr. Ambrose Huna from Uganda, that created some excellent illustrations that we were able to use throughout our study. Thank you.
Let's ask if you have one or two questions first to the speaker now, and then I would ask like the other speakers to come up for general questions.
Access to pills, implants. Did a pilot that was largely successful. Yeah, so the pilot that Janet mentioned was conducted in 2012, I think, by FHI, and it proved without a doubt that community-based distribution was both safe and effective means of distributing different contraceptive methods. And I think as of 2013, the policy was changed. So at this point, I think CBD is acceptable there and in use, but just not very widespread yet, still just getting off the ground.